Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
And good afternoon and welcome. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you here on a Wednesday. That is when we are live. That's when you can catch us and be a part of the conversation here in the Red Zone each and every Wednesday at 3 o'clock. If you're catching us later in the week, either via the archives or the podcast, thank you very much. We appreciate you listening whenever you get the opportunity. But remember, if you can mark out that time on your schedule, 3 o'clock every Wednesday, that is the time that we are live here in the Red Zone, and you can be a part of the conversation as you are today if you're joining us right now live. A lot to get to. We're going to talk to the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Todd Haley is going to join us a little bit later on, so we'll get kind of a put a cherry on top of the 2009 season and look ahead to the 2010 season with the head coach, Todd Haley, who is up in his office right now, it has been told to me. And he will join us coming up in about 10 minutes or so. So make your plans to hear what the head coach has to say as we'll discuss a variety of topics with Coach Todd Haley. First, let's talk about the biggest news in the NFL, which, of course, was this past week, and that would be the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 44 bringing to a close this year, officially bringing to a close the year, as the Pro Bowl already happening the week before, but the New Orleans Saints being crowned champions. In fact, Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints, good friend of Todd Haley. So we'll talk to Todd Haley about his reaction to his friend Sean Payton picking up a Super Bowl ring, picking up the trophy, the hardware down in Miami. But Super Bowl 44 coming to an end and the Saints being crowned champions. And to me, one of the things, and you've heard us talk about it, if you're a regular listener here to the Red Zone, what it means to be Super Bowl champions. And we always do a nice statistical study, a breakdown of the teams that have gone before the Super Bowl champions to see if there's anything you can glean. And I think every NFL team does this. It's why you hear the term, quote unquote, copycat league in the NFL. I think every team goes and studies the teams that have won the championship and says, all right, what do they do? What can we learn from how they did it? Not that it becomes the only way to do things, but certainly the success of the 3-4 in recent years by the Steelers and Patriots, you see more and more teams going to the 3-4. When it works and it wins a championship, people want to make that change and want to be a part of it. They want the championship, and they'll follow along the way people have proven works. Well, the New Orleans Saints are now a new team to review and evaluate and look at and say, okay, how did they do it? Because we need to see if we can do it the way they did it or some other way. You don't just look at the team that did it last, but you certainly put them into the equation. Now, the recent Super Bowls, and again, we did this, I think it was a week ago, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, we evaluated the most recent Super Bowl champions, 02 through 08. Why did we start with 02? Because that was the first year that the NFL expanded to 32 teams and broke into what is the current system of four divisions of four, with the 16-game schedule. So these are the, we'll call it the modern history, the current history of the NFL. Tampa, New England, Pittsburgh, Indy, the Giants, Pittsburgh, and now the New Orleans Saints added to that list. It gives you an idea to understand, okay, in this current scheduling format, in this current divisional format, these are the teams that have survived, advanced, and won the Super Bowl. So what connections can we draw from these football teams? We can now place the Saints in there as the most recent team and evaluate them. And I'll say this. If you look at the most recent, and we'll talk to Todd Haley about this a little bit. He obviously was a part of one of these teams I'm going to mention. The last two Super Bowls, there have been four participants. This year, of course, the Saints and Colts. Last year, the Steelers and Cardinals. Three of those four teams you would characterize as offensive football teams, not as defensive football teams. And maybe we're seeing a beginning, a shift towards offense being a bigger part of the equation. As we've pointed out, 02 to 08, as far as the winners go, defense has been the stronger side of the football. We've seen defensive rankings, just going with the overall defensive rankings, the number 1, 7, 9, 4, 21st defense. That was the Colts in 06. 7th defense and best defense, Pittsburgh Steelers, last year win the Super Bowl. But now add the New Orleans Saints with the 25th best defense in the NFL. being crowned Super Bowl champions. Now, a couple of things that need to be included in here when reviewing the defense of the New Orleans Saints. Number one, they were the defense that had to play opposite the number one offense. And if you remember when the Chiefs were one of the top three or four offenses, it's harder to play defense when you score quickly, score often, put a lot of points. And statistically, when you're playing from in front, look, you're not going to play like your back's against the wall when you're holding a 20-point lead. If you're up big in games, you're more likely to give up yards. You're more likely to give up points in an effort to burn the clock and get the win. Again, the numbers are nice, and maybe nobody loves statistics more than I do. At the end of the day, the statistics are a means to an end. The end is to win games. The end is to score more points than the opposition and put wins on the board. But the statistics are the way you break it down and evaluate how a team was able to do that, how a team was able to get the wins. The Saints are the 25th best defense, giving up 358 yards per game this year. They played at a higher level than that against the Indianapolis Colts. They also do a fantastic job of turning other teams over. Five turnovers against the Vikings, only one turnover against the Indianapolis Colts, but it was the only turnover in the game, and it was huge. It cinched the game. Peyton Manning with the football in his hands, down seven, looking like we may be headed to the first overtime Super Bowl in history. Instead, a Porter interception return for a touchdown. The Saints put the game on ice, and they go on to win. 25 because you're chasing the number one offense in the NFL. But even so, the Cardinals were an offensive football team that played great defense once they got to the postseason. The Colts are an offensive football team. The Saints are an offensive football team. Are we seeing a transition in the way the game is played? Have the rules changed? Have the quarterbacks become so proficient that the fact that you can't really touch the receivers has made it so hard to play defense that we're headed towards more of an arena football league style of offense, a more of an arena football league style of play overall, to where you've got to be able to score points, you've got to be able to have offense, you've got to be a big scoring machine to win the Super Bowl. Well, only time will tell. Maybe we've just got an anomaly. Maybe it's a coincidence that an offensive football team was able to rise up and maybe theoretically overachieve the way the Cardinals did in 08 against the Steelers. And maybe this year we're two teams that were so heavily weighted to the offensive side of the ball, maybe this year will end up being that anomaly. It is, though, two times in the last 4 years that the Super Bowl champ has been heavily offensive. The Colts in 06 were the number three offense and the number 21 defense. They were clearly an offensive football team. And even they, kind of like the Saints this year, there's some asterisks that go along with being the number 21 defense. They played much of the year with Bob Sanders out, got him back for that playoff run. Don't we Chiefs fans know it? Because they were the number 32 rush defense in the NFL, but somehow shut down one of the better rushing attacks in the NFL, the Chiefs, in that opening round. A big part of the reason why Bob Sanders came back healthy and helped just blow up the Chiefs' run, Chiefs' running game in that first opening round playoff game for the 06 Colts. And then they would go on to win three more games in a row, the last one being the Super Bowl over the Chicago Bears. But two of the last four teams are offensive teams. And I think it's something you've got to at least sit back in your chair if you're Scott Pioli, if you're Todd Haley, and you're evaluating the NFL and how to build a championship team. You've got to at least sit back into your chair and say, okay, hang on. You know, the old adage is defense, defense, defense. The Chiefs obviously invested a lot in draft picks and money in trying to help lay the groundwork to rebuilding the defensive side of the football for the Chiefs, changing the defensive scheme last year, but using what I'll call 3.5 of their first four draft picks on the defensive side of the ball, with the second round pick going for Mike Vrabel and Matt Cassel. That's the half, if you're wondering how I get to 3.5 draft picks. 3.5 of their first four draft picks being on the defensive side of the ball. You at least, if you're in those chairs, have to sit back and say, is that the way to do it? Because two of the last four teams have been offensive teams to come away with the trophy. We'll take a break right now, and we'll talk to the head coach of the Chiefs next, Todd Haley, here in the Red Zone.
Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster. The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20. He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate, Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
What's in your playbook for 2010?
Shotgun formation, twins to the right. He takes the snap, fakes right, spins left, and dives for 2010 Chiefs season tickets.
Great seats at great prices are available. Buy now to guarantee you'll experience the Chiefs in the new Arrowhead opening in 2010 with improved amenities, expanded concourses, HD video boards, the Hall of Honor, and much more. Purchase your 2010 Chiefs season tickets today at kcchiefs.com or call 888-99-CHIEFS. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com. Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster.
All right, welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. That is when we are live. If you're catching us later in the week via the archives or the podcast, live each and every Wednesday where we can see your questions, thoughts, comments there in the chat room. A very special Red Zone today as the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Todd Haley, joins us right now. Coach, how you doing, man?
Good. How you doing, Soren?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I noticed the garb off-season. No different than the garb in season. You look like you're ready to take the practice field here in about the next 20, 30 minutes. It doesn't change around here, does it?
Doesn't change a lot. I was trying to talk myself into a workout, but I keep pushing it further back.
Yeah. Well, keep doing it, and you can look like me one day. Let me ask, first of all, before I'll get back into the Chiefs stuff, I know you have a strong connection to Sean Payton. We were just talking about the Super Bowl, the Saints winning it. I'll ask you a question about them, about what it means for a team like the Saints to win it. But we can see the commonalities. Both of you guys certainly on the coaching tree, if you will, date back to Bill Parcells. What's your relationship with Sean Payton? How'd you react to seeing him get the trophy?
I'm usually not too excited when other people win, but I sincerely was excited for Sean and was rooting for him because, you know, we did spend some time together, and I think a lot of him, you know, as a person and as a coach, and I think, you know, their situation is inspirational for a young team like us, you know, in the situation that we're in. So, you know, again, I think it's a great example of somebody that knows the right way to do it and the way that he's had success in the past and implemented a plan and stuck with it and saw some results. So, again, you know, a very inspirational season and win for me being the head coach of the Chiefs and kind of thinking about where we want to go.
When did you guys work together? Was he third man in the 4x4 office with you and Charlie Weiss? Because that'd be a crowded
no,
office.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. He wasn't in the Charlie mix. We were in Dallas together,
right.
So you know, we spent a couple real good productive years together, and again, he's a good guy and a good coach.
Yeah, and the Saints winning, and we were talking about, you know, I'm kind of a numbers geek, and we broke down the numbers. I always write down, list off the Super Bowl champs and then try to see if there's anything you can glean from it, which I know every NFL team does, but just from a stat geek guy to see if you can figure out what it means for the NFL. And one of the things we were just talking about in the opening segment was three of the last four teams to appear in the Super Bowl, one of them being the Cardinal team you worked on, were teams that you would describe, at least numbers-wise, as heavily offensive football teams. Are we seeing a change in the NFL that maybe offense, with the new rules, with the skill level of the quarterbacks, that offense is becoming more important? That's not defense wins championships anymore?
Oh, I think it's an interesting point. I think we may have to go a little bit longer to really know, but, you know, because the games are so close, and there's some pretty strong defensive teams that could have won or were real close to winning. So, again, we'll have to watch it a little further. But, you know, I think it's a very good point. But I still believe fundamentally that you got to have a defense to succeed, and the Saints surely did have one.
As an offensive guy, does that statement, defense wins championships, does that get under your skin at all?
No, not at all.
Really?
No. Especially now that I'm a head coach, you know, because I do know, you know, and have strong beliefs of what it takes to win. So I think we'll try to follow that philosophy. If we have a great offense in the process, that'd be nice.
We're talking to Todd Haley, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs here in the Red Zone. All right, year one out of the way. Are you happy just to have that first year? I know for me, anytime you got to do something, the first time you do it, there's always that the fear of the unknown. Once you've done it once, it gets easier to maybe figure out what you did wrong, make it better. You know, what we did right, how do we make that even stronger? Are you happy just to have the first year out of the way, and now all the, well, it was a first time coach questions, and the questions you had in your mind have now all been answered since you've been through it the first go round?
Yeah, you know, I think anytime you get involved in something that's new or unfamiliar, that you know, you like to have that experience under your belt. So there's no doubt that you know, I feel a lot different right now than I did this time last year. You know, just like you said, because you've got a year of experience under your belt, you now have a much greater understanding of what the job entails, and simple things, you know, from, you know, this year making the calendar for my coaches went much smoother than last year. Last year I was calling everybody, looking, you know, went back and forth, but you know, you just know a lot more. And I think from that standpoint, I'm happy we're a year further down the road.
One of the things you talked about was laying the foundation. It's also one of the things you discussed in your end of the season press conference was, you know, we found some, I might be using the wrong word with foundation, but that was the gist of the comment, was building that foundation to where you can now move forward. Do you feel, is the foundation bigger, further along than you thought it would be after a year? Or did you realize, no, there's a lot more that goes into the actual, you know, what we got to do in laying the groundwork to then start building the what you hope is the great team on top of it?
No, I don't think there's any doubt we laid a foundation. You know, and it had to be done, you know, and as I've said many times, change is difficult, not always comfortable, and we went through a lot of that this year, but I do believe the foundation has been laid, and now it's just a matter of continuing on with the plan, you know, to continue to gather players. I think this off season we've done a great job of getting some innovative minds into the building that fit well with what we're doing, And I think we're making steps. So there's no doubt foundation's laid. We're a year further along. The players understand what the expectations are. And I think everybody's getting pretty excited about getting going.
You mentioned minds in the building. Two, obviously, that come to mind, pretty big names. New offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel. You know, how different is it to have those guys around and that much experience right there at your side?
Well, I just think it's good. You know, these are all decisions that, you know, were decisions that had to be made and we had to be right on, and everything just kind of fell into place the way we would have hoped, and it feels good. You know, sometimes when you make changes or there's additions or subtractions, you know, you don't feel that comfort level. But in this case, you know, again, because there is a lot of familiarity, which is great, and familiarity in the system and what it takes and or how we're going to go about winning, that it's comfortable. And I think it feels good, and that's probably the best way to describe it.
How much easier is it to put it all together when you have the full off season? I mean, last year, I think Scott came in about 2 weeks. I can't remember the date necessarily, but it was roughly 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, maybe even 3 weeks. But after the season ended, you were just getting to town. I mean, I think right about now might be the actual one-year mark of your press conference. If we're a couple of days off, it was about this time after the Super Bowl that you were being announced as the head coach. So getting the staff together and starting to evaluate the talent hadn't even happened. You're already a month plus into that. I would think it's a lot more relaxed, comfortable, and maybe on pace now here in year two, as opposed to the way you had to do it last year when everything was delayed by just getting the initial pieces in place.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. As a full staff, we've had, you know, a good two, almost 3 weeks together now where we're working and grooving and shaking, so to speak. So, you know, night and day from last year this time, like you said, I think we're right around it, you know, pretty close. And it was a good month and a half or two before there was any kind of comfort level.
Do you feel like it helps as far as the personnel side of things, evaluating the college kids, looking at the free agents, everything that goes on there, because everybody's on the same page right now and can go through that whole process?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the more guys you have in the building that you trust, and as I've talked about, fit, that understand the way we're doing it, I mean, it's allowing me to be the head coach and I think that's the ideal situation. So, you know, from the college players, you know, at this time last year, it wasn't even on the map, you know, just because there was so much to do. But, you know, I've been spending a good 3-4 hours a day, you know, even getting a look at college guys, which is a, you know, huge steps.
Do you enjoy that part of it?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's the way I was raised.
Right.
And you know, it'd always be very close to my heart and something that – you know, I like to feel like I'm good at and enjoy doing and enjoy the process. You know, our meetings start here in, next week, and I'll look forward to that. You know, I love to interact with the scouts and with Scott and talk about players. And, yeah, I mean, I really enjoy it.
I know the NFL is very, I don't know what if I'd say the term hands-on, or but they very much limit what it is guys can say about the we know the labor issue is out there. And so I know that there's a limit on what can be said. But knowing that there's labor uncertainty out there, does that make the draft that much more important this year, not just for the Chiefs but for every team, that to get the draft right? Because – there's going to be less free agents. We know that if we get to an uncapped year, which I talked to Clark Hunt down at the Super Bowl, and he pretty much agreed that's where we're headed, is an uncapped year. There'll be less free agents out there, and we don't know what's going to happen after that. Does that make the draft more important for every team in the league this year?
Well, you know, in my mind, the draft is the importance of it never changes. So, you know, those are more decisions that it's very critical that we're right on. And again, it's a big part of this, and it's a big part of having a successful team year in and year out. So, you know, the urgency or the importance of the draft is always at the top as far as I'm concerned.
Does it – and again, I know, like I said, you're restricted, limited, or whatever, on what you can and can't say about free agency, but does it change knowing that it's going to be different, there's going to be less guys? Do you change your approach in free agency, or does it just mean, hey, our approach is the same, we just have less guys to pick from?
Yeah, again, I think you still go through the process and evaluate the guys that are out there and potentially available, and again, you make sure you're right on that part of it, of the evaluation portion of it, and then from there you try to make educated decisions.
We're talking to Todd Haley, head coach of the Chiefs. We'll take a quick break here in the Red Zone. We'll come back. We'll talk about Matt Cassel, talk about the emergence of Jamaal Charles, talk about, I mentioned the conversation with Clark Hunt, what he said about expectations for next year, which I assume you've had, or at least somewhat lukewarm on what those are, but we'll run that by you as well. That all coming up next here in the Red Zone with Chiefs head coach Todd Haley.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer, 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster, more ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint. It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking, with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com, and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank. Strong roots, endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the internet.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365 and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at kcchiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in red-hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
What's in your playbook for 2010?
Shotgun formation, twins to the right. He takes the snap, fakes right, spins left, and dives for 2010 Chiefs season tickets.
Great seats at great prices are available. Buy now to guarantee you'll experience the Chiefs in the new Arrowhead opening in 2010 with improved amenities, expanded concourses, HD video boards, the Hall of Honor, and much more. Purchase your 2010 Chiefs season tickets today at kcchiefs.com or call 888-99-CHIEFS. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. You are in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you here on a Wednesday as we are talking to the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Todd Haley, joins us. Coach, again, thanks for the time. We do appreciate it. How's your stomach doing? You okay? I heard something about a new diet or something. Everything's working all right?
It's my body's still in total withdrawal. I don't eat well very often, but I'm on 8 days of force feeding by my wife of healthy food. So,
does any coach eat well?
Yeah, there are some.
Really?
There are some. And then there are some closet eaters that pretend they eat well, but really in the back room they got a pile of Snickers.
Have you heard this one? I read at one point that Jimmy Johnson in season, which in the NFL, I don't know what is that now because it seems like you guys are at it 12 months a year. In season, he lived on Heineken and chips and salsa.
I hadn't heard it, but you know, I've seen just as bad or close to worse, but that's pretty bad.
Yeah. All right. We'll get back to the Chiefs talk. We'll leave the diet behind.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your offense. Really seemed to come together in the second half. A big part of that, one of the reasons why the running game took off with the emergence of Jamal Charles. Did you think that Jamal Charles was capable of the type of numbers that he put up, that he could do, you know, 1,100 yards and, what, seven or eight starts, that he could be that kind of back? And how much of it was Jamal Charles and how much of it was your offensive line finally started to gel in that second half?
Well, I think it was a little bit of everything. I mean, not to take anything away from Jamal, because Jamal, you know, we're all really excited about him, and he raised expectations really every week once he got going. But, you know, we had some, you know, not only was it a new team and a new year, we made some pretty radical changes, which, you know, really essentially eliminated training camp and some of the OTAs. But, you know, in the long run, I've no regrets and believe, you know, we did the right thing. And I think it started to show. And just as the team worked together, and again, thinking without a training camp, no playbook, you know, I think you started to see some of the signs of what we're capable of, and Jamal led the way there. And again, he continued to raise the bar every week, you know, ending with his best game, and arguably our biggest game, you know, at the time. So, we're all pretty excited.
I know Colby Smith ended up being hurt again. He was coming off the knee injury, coming off a very severe knee injury, and was a part of the equation early on. Maybe he can get back and be a part of that equation. He might be the answer to this question when it's all said and done. But whether it's him or somebody else, how important is it? And it seems like the running back by committee, which I've covered this team for a long time, going back to the Marty Schottenheimer days, when he was belittled because he had Greg Hill and Marcus Allen, and, oh, that was a problem. You got to have one guy. The running back by committee doesn't work. Now it's clearly the in vogue thing around the NFL. How important is it to have somebody with him? I mean, we've seen the numbers are pretty evident. You get a guy up over that 375 carry mark, and I think people also forget about the touches catching the football, which sometimes they think, oh, he only had 315 carries. Well, he caught 85 balls too. And not to mention blitz pickups on linebackers or some collision impacts as well. How important is it to have somebody to go in tandem with him that can be effective to keep him at maximum ability?
Well, I think it's very important, and the league has changed. I mean, the guys, I mean, it's quite obvious they're bigger, faster, stronger, and when you get a guy of Jamal's stature, you know, 200 pounds, 205 pounds, though he continued to raise the bar, you want to increase the duration, you know, that a guy's able to play and play at a high level, and I think, you know, having another guy that's very capable is probably a critical need of ours.
So it's a critical need of everybody. It goes without saying. You want to be effective on offense. How about the quarterback position? Because Matt Castle, you would think, who I think had six TDs and INTs. I'm a big geek about that for quarterbacks. I think that's the most important statistic, that ratio there. 16-16, I think is a heck of a first year for a guy who came to a team that's in a rebuild mode. And I pointed out, you know, Trent Green came with, I think, 25 starts to Kansas City in 2001 to take over the quarterback duties. Kind of a similar position. He goes from one team to another, a high-powered team in the Rams. He had quarterbacked, like Matt came over from the Patriots. He was 17 touchdowns, 24 interceptions in year one. He'd go on to have 4,000-yard seasons, multiple Pro Bowls. You know, we talked a lot on the show. Let's see. Expectations are high for Matt Castle, but let's hold on. It is a building process, and he'll build on his career here in Kansas City, as will everybody else. That's my thoughts on it. What's your thoughts on what he was able to do year one and what he's capable of moving forward?
Yeah, Matt's another core guy that, you know, we're all really excited about. You're exactly right. I mean, when you take that, any position, but specifically the quarterback position, and you put somebody through the change that he had to go through coming from one team to another, you know, and your familiarity level with the system, even if there are some similarities, it's a major change. Your familiarity with the personnel, you know, the players that you're around. I mean, those are even just being in the locker room and on a day-to-day basis. It's a major change, and it's very difficult. You know, I think the real encouraging things about Matt are that he weathered the storm, and it was a storm. Add on to that, you know, some of the changes we made, you know, coming out of training camp. You know, he was put in a difficult situation and under a lot of scrutiny, and those are the things I'm really excited about. As he weathered the storm, he showed that he's an extremely tough guy, both mentally and physically, and he showed his skills off enough, I think, to all of us to know that, hey, you know, this guy's arrow is pointing in the right direction, and he's going to be a good player for us. So, you know, I know he's chomping at the bit to get going again, and adding Charlie into the mix and being able to kind of pick up where we left off, but with an additional innovative mind, like I talked about in the room, to specifically work with Matt all the time, you know, I think that we're all really excited about the direction he's going.
And I, you know, I say, how far can he go? What could be the upside? I know coaches never want to put a ceiling on a player. You never want to say he's got to be Dan Marino. He's got to be Kurt Warner, the guy you worked with in Arizona. But that being said, okay, he does. We all would agree he's got to continue to get better. It's vital for this team to go where you want to go. It's vital that he does get better and continue to grow, and you know, for this team to reach its full potential.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, the potential we're all worried about is playing in that game we just watched the other day. And I know the great quarterbacks I've been around, you know, that's their focus. And I know that with Matt, that his focus is squarely on getting into that game. And I think that's when you got a guy that thinks like that and is working towards that to reach that goal, that you got to be a little bit excited, and we got to continue to get better, and as he does. But I'm excited about the direction Matt's going and that we're going with him.
Vince Lombardi said it a long time ago. Football's the perfect team game with one problem. The quarterback's too damn important. And we see that time. It's not a coincidence that Drew Brees met Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl. I mean, that wasn't a coincidence. It's not that you have to have that guy, but you know, you often use the term the right 53. If you don't have the right one under center, your other 52 have to get a lot better to help carry that guy forward. Is that an accurate?
There's no doubt.
No-brainer statement.
As you looked at the history of the league, the quarterbacks obviously played arguably the most important role, you know, in all the great teams, and a lot of people have had success because of a great quarterback. So, it's definitely a position that that has to be playing at a high level most of the time to have success.
All right, I assume you watched the whole game. You know, that's one that you would actually, you know, usually coach is like, I'm too busy doing my stuff. I don't have time to watch it. That's one I assume you watched the whole game, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. One of the biggest plays in that game, everyone talks about the onside kick. They talk about the fourth down, you know, going for it on fourth, all the different things, three kicks from over 40 yards. A lot of elements went into the Saints winning. One thing that doesn't get as much conversation from a negative standpoint from the Indianapolis Colts, they only touched the ball and only had six plays. Their first series was a three and out. And it was a three and out because on third down, Pierre Garçon dropped the ball. And it was a monumental, I think it was one of the, you know, there may be 10 plays that can really change the course of the game. That one really did because it kept Peyton Manning and that offense, their best unit, on the sideline basically for the entire second quarter. That's an example of one drop ball in the biggest game and how it really impacted the Colts' chances for winning. You, I believe, when it was all said and done.
Led the league. Almost set the record.
Almost set there. Because I know we were barreling towards it around week 14 or 15. It was a topic of your weekly conversation.
We slowed it down at the end.
Did you? You stemmed the tide?
Yeah.
But that, to me, is for fans to see. I don't know how you'd go to tell it to your team and show it to them. That, to me, is the most glaring example of a team, you know, that was the favorite in that football game and almost a touchdown favorite, if you believe Vegas. They were completely handcuffed, and they were crippled by that one drop ball. How do you get that message across to your players, or do you simply have to get different players? Are drops something that just can't be cured with repetitions or work in front of the jugs gun?
Yeah, I think drops, you know, there's a lot that go into drops, and sometimes they're technique, sometimes they're confidence or mental side of it. So, you know, there's a lot of different factors, but the one thing that's clear to me is the job of the wide receiver, the number one job of the wide receiver, is to catch the ball. So, you know, whether it's new players or not, you know, our receivers have to catch the ball. And some of the drops that we had, you know, were just – they're easy to forget about, but the effect they had on the perception of the quarterback, the effect they had on us as a team on a – you know, when a first down became a second and 10 or a – where a third down became a punt, where it looked like a sure conversion. You know, those will hurt you, and they hurt us. There's no doubt about it. So you know, we've got to catch the ball, and I've coached receivers for a long time, and I've never been a part of that. So you know, that's something that's got to change.
Do you take it personally?
For sure. I take it personally, very personally.
Watching you in training camp, I would think you. Because you paid special attention to the wide receivers in training.
Yeah.
It's your spot.
It is something that I do have a little deeper interest in when I'm watching practice just because of the amount of time I spent in that area.
And so I'll ask you, the flip side is, because the head coach comes from that spot, does it put more pressure on your receivers? Do you creep them out, stress them out, for lack of a better term, because the head guy is a receivers coach from his roots in the league?
Well, I hope not. This is a process, Seren, and my philosophy as a coach always has been that if I can bother you, if I can talk you into a drop, then you have no chance on Sunday. So, you know, we're going to keep working on that in that direction. We're going to have mentally tough guys that, you know, that concentrate and catch the ball in difficult situations, because drops are going to happen. The key is not have them happen in the critical situations. And what I'd like our receivers to pride themselves on is catching the difficult balls, you know, not the easy ones.
Year two in a system. You've been a part of multiple teams as you've moved around and been there on year one and moved to year two. That, to me, seems like, I mean, I've said this about players. I think generally we see the biggest jump in a player between year one and year two. He knows what time he's got to be where and what to do, and he can focus in more on football. Does that hold true for a, quote, regime, that year two, this is where we potentially could see the biggest jump?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I guess you could relate it to players. You know, as players, you know, as far as what I know about players, year three is the most critical year for a player, of where you kind of see whether a player's going to be if he's a good player, if he's going to stay a good player, if he's going to start declining, or if he's going to take a step and become a great player. So, you know, I don't know. I think each year is just as important as the last, you know, as a team and as a staff or regime or whatever you want to call it, you know, and we're just implementing the plan, and we're going to continue to do that and do the things that we know you know, make you a good football team, and we're going to be unwavering in that process, and generally good things happen when that's the way you work.
All right, I mentioned before we took a break that we talk about Clark Hunt's comments down at the Super Bowl. He was down there. I had a chance to talk to him, and I asked him, "What are your expectations?"
He didn't guarantee a Super Bowl this year.
No, he didn't. But he did say if Todd Haley doesn't win 14 games, he's out. Now, does that surprise you that the owner would go that far?
No,
because it shocked me.
That would be my quote too. If I own the team,
that's not what he said. What he said though, and I was actually surprised. I thought because I think Clark is as smooth as it gets to handling questions. Because I interview a lot of people, and he's pretty smooth at it. I said, what are the expectations? And he said, I think we should compete for a playoff spot next year. I know that's something everybody wants to do every year. What are your expectations for next season?
Well, that's our goal every year. And my goal as a coach, I mean, no different than Jamal. I mean, you have to raise the bar. To get to where we want to go to, you have to raise the bar and raise the expectations. So, that's what our goal is this year, and that's what it'll be next year and the year after, and we're going to do everything we can to get to reach that goal, because that's what it's all about. That's what all the hard work and the sacrifice is for on all ends, and the players, the coaches, everybody involved, and that's why the fans come out to watch. So I would expect that to be the expectations, and those are mine.
All right. Before I let you go, we've come to the end. Our final four quickies. All right. You just tell me the first thing that pops into your head, okay? You ready?
Ready.
Yeah. You've done this before, so you didn't,
I don't like it.
Yeah, that's all right, though. That's good. That makes it better because it knows you're in an uncomfortable zone. First of all, I asked Clark Hunt, see how well you know your owner. I asked him, I said, we ever see the Todd Haley look out of you, the unshaven look? He said there might be one time you'd catch him with the unshaven look. Do you know what that time was?
Day before training camp?
No, not bad. He said only when he goes camping on like the scout trips and all that with the kids and everything. It's about the only time, although he said it would probably take him 2 months.
He doesn't have sensitive skin like me.
Is that what it is, sensitive skin?
I assume you have it too.
I'm just lazy. Clearly the body weight should give you that that answer right there. No, I'm just
lazy.
Question
is, do people want to see me with whiskers or with the breakout?
That's okay. That's kind of that's good. But you're a very sensitive guy, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, that comes
four girls.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he said it would take him probably a month to do what you do in about 8 hours. That was his estimation. So let me know if you ever see him running around, unshaven, because that'd be a photo I'd like to have. All right, who benches more, you or Scott Pioli?
Pioli.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Does he
sit around? Does he bench like 3-4 hours a day? Because he appears to be a walking
chest.
Most
times I see him, he's benching.
Is he? Yeah.
A lot of weight.
Evaluate tape, and there he is. He's got a bench in his office, and he's just there pressing it out. He said, I tried to pin him down. He said he's pushed. He's got upwards of 500 pounds. You believe it, or you think he's
I believe
telling tales?
Like Mr. Incredible.
Yeah, really? Yeah, like I said, I think he's a walking chest. He appears to be all chest. All right, next question. Where does Kurt Warner rank on the all-time list?
My all-time list or
all-time list of quarterbacks?
In my mind, because I've been directly around him, I'm going to say one.
One? Number one? You know, he's one of only two quarterbacks. I believe this to be true. He's one of only two quarterbacks that their playoff quarterback rating is higher than their regular season.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I feel about Kurt because of that. Because in the big games, he shines.
Yeah, he. Do you know who the other one is?
Montana.
Good try, but no, Montana's is lower. Eli Manning.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
He hadn't had as many postseason games to maybe water it down, but he had that great run with the Giants, four games. And played at a very high level. But that's what I think speaks volumes about Kurt Warner. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, right?
My mind.
Okay. Last question, then. I'll give you an opportunity to be bold and daring here. Exactly how many games will you win next year, the Chiefs? How many?
Not answering.
No number? You don't want to put a number?
Not answering.
No? All right. I'm just giving you the opportunity. If you wanted to, Joe Namath, you could be Joe Willie Namath.
Expectations are high.
That's good enough for me. Coach, appreciate the time. Thanks so much. We'll let you get back to work.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Todd Haley, head coach, joining us here in the Red Zone. We'll take a break. Come back. More in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
what's in your playbook for 2010?
Shotgun formation, twins to the right. He takes the snap, fakes right, spins left, and dives for 2010 Chiefs season tickets.
Great seats at great prices are available. Buy now to guarantee you'll experience the Chiefs in the new Arrowhead opening in 2010 with improved amenities, expanded concourses, HD video boards, the Hall of Honor, and much more. Purchase your 2010 Chiefs season tickets today at kcchiefs.com or call 888-99-CHIEFS.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20. He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels, that a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer, 120, a jet engine, that studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. It is the Red Zone here on a Wednesday. If you're catching us later on, our phone number, 816-920-4746. Our email address, redzone at kcchiefs.org. That is redzone at kcchiefs.org. Thanks again to Todd Haley, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Was absolutely in the workout gear. Looks like he could head to practice in about 10 minutes. It is midseason in the NFL, and that's one of the things you learned quickly in covering a team up close and personal. There is no offseason anymore in the NFL, and that is true with the Chiefs right now, the business at hand. And we'll talk about this a lot more, obviously, in the weeks to come here in the Red Zone. The business at hand is evaluating players and figuring out what direction to go. Always good to talk to the head coach of the Chiefs. And good to know that he acknowledges Scott Pioli can outbench him. If we got to the bottom of anything in that interview, it's who has a bigger bench? Because we all know what's important is what do you bench? And Pioli looks like he's the bench king of the Chiefs front office. So that very important. But I thought interesting, you know, we started out talking about the Super Bowl. And you heard him talking about Sean Payton, who he obviously worked with the Dallas Cowboys. And I think it's interesting to look at Todd Haley in year one, who, like all head coaches, faces criticism in year one, especially when you're on a rebuilding project. You know, Jim Caldwell took over a team that had won 12 games 6 years in a row in Indianapolis. That was not the situation that Todd Haley walked into. So he has to carry that cross with him. Everybody has a cross of some sort to carry. He got to take over a team that had won four games and two games in the 2 years preceding him taking over. And so it was not going to be as pretty in year one for Todd Haley as it was for Jim Caldwell in Indianapolis. Take nothing away from Jim Caldwell. He did a magnificent job in guiding that team. And some would say it's even tougher to take over a team like that because you have so much pressure and so many expectations. I will tell you that people that have been through it will tell you, no, it's not. It's tougher to go through a rebuilding project when you're going to face a lot of losses. And that's what Todd Haley had to do. But listening to him talk about Sean Payton, keep in mind, I think there are a lot of things. Again, I always study the Super Bowl, both Super Bowl teams, but particularly the winning Super Bowl team. And we'll give you a lot more statistics on that as
the weeks come here in the red zone throughout the off season. But Sean Payton in year four with the New Orleans Saints, I think that's important to remember. The Saints were a team that surprised a lot of people in his first year and went to the NFC Championship game. That didn't happen here in Kansas City, but you didn't have a quarterback with the same kind of experience that Drew Brees had in New Orleans as you have here. And then years two and three were a regression. They stepped back, and by some people were a disappointment. And Sean Payton, by most people's estimation, was one of the coaches on the hot seat this year. He needed to win or he was going to be looking for a job. He clearly answered the bell very well, won the Super Bowl, and I don't think he'll be looking for a job anytime soon, nor buying a drink or dinner in the state of Louisiana anytime soon either. But he was a guy, and again, it's something we talk about time and time again on the Red Zone. The fine line between success and failure. And in the NFL, it's success or failure. It's not you gave it a good try, so attaboy. You know, in the NFL, people are viewed either as geniuses or morons. There's no in-between. That's unfair and it's not right, but that is what the general consensus will be. All who lose are morons. Those who win are geniuses. Sean Payton has gone from a guy that most people would have said, boy, if he doesn't get this team to the playoffs, he's going to lose his job, to now a guy that's going to be reviewed and revered as a guy, boy, he's got it figured out. See, it's like Sean Payton does. Well, you know the way Sean Payton calls plays. Well, the way Sean Payton built the team, the way Sean Payton, you're going to hear his name over and over again because of the success. But keep in your mind, study him. Pay attention to it. What did the Saints do? Let's learn from it. Let's see how we can get better as an organization. That's what I'm sure is being said upstairs here at the Arrowhead practice facility right now. But as fans, keep in mind how the fortunes changed so fast, one, in between year three and year four, where it was not sure if this is the guy to he's the greatest coach in the history of Saints football. That happened in the course of about 5 months. He went from being, I'm not sure if he's the guy, to being, we'll never fire this guy no matter what. And that'll last 2 or 3 years, depending upon what happens in the future. But also remember, it took 4 years. You know, this is a quote-unquote, I use the term regime in talking to Coach Haley. It is a new regime. And there are a lot of things that have to be put in place. They laid the foundation here in year one. But it was year four where it all came together for the New Orleans Saints. And I think that would be a reasonable expectation. Now, they made the playoffs in year one. I'm not saying that this team can't win a Super Bowl in year two. We've seen coaches do that. I think it was Joe Gibbs who won a Super Bowl in his second year. If I'm mistaken, it was his third year. It can be done very quickly. But, you know, for it all to come together and for it all be your play, the New England Patriots won it in their second year. There's another example. But I know from having read interviews with the guys that were involved, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk to Charlie Weiss or Romeo Crennel about those days, you know, they all felt like, wow, they were kind of surprised looking back on it that it all came together in year two. They were really pointing towards the next year being the year that it would all click. And, hey, they got on a roll. It clicked midway through year two. And they rode that roll all the way to the Super Bowl. And then obviously we're back in it 2 years later and 3 years later, winning more championships for that team. But it is a process. The process began in 2009. It will continue in 2010. Hopefully for all Chiefs fans, it'll end with a Super Bowl parade. But if it does not, don't panic. Don't abandon ship. You know, certainly evaluate the mistakes. Were there mistakes made in year one with Coach Haley and Scott Pioli? Yes, absolutely. There will be every single year they're here. But what you hope in the long run is, were there more successes? And those successes in year one, and we said this going in, and it's why we talk about the future ahead. You know, it's one thing to be reactive. Any putts can be reactive. Okay, if you want to intelligently evaluate things, you have to be proactive as well. That's proactive in setting expectations, proactive in understanding what people are working with. So you don't just say, hey, look, we're going to paint a house. I'm giving you, you got one guy, and we want it done in 2 hours. Well, and at the end, when the guy doesn't have the house done in 2 hours, going, that guy's a failure. Is he a failure, or did you fail to give reasonable expectations? Did you fail to give the guy the equipment he needed to do the job? The talent, the players, and that's going to be a big part of the process. Todd Haley is a part of that personnel evaluation, certainly as is the entire coaching staff, and Scott Pioli and his staff have to continue to work on that. But it is a process, and it will take time. They use the word process. It's a good word. They use it for good reason. It will take some time for all of the fruit to finally be ready to pick for this organization. And what you hope is that this foundation is strong. What they laid this year, all the work that was done, the getting the team in shape back in training camp, the making the decision, he referenced it several times, coming out of, you know, the rendering a lot of the OTAs in training camp, you know, irrelevant. I don't know if that was the word he used, but obviously referring to making the decision to make the change at offensive coordinator to let Chan Gailey go because it's where he wanted to go and wanted to advance the process. You hope that that process was advanced, you know, that the change in philosophy midway through or towards the end of training camp will pay dividends. It's got to. And the expectations are higher. And Todd Haley's expectations for this team are higher. He admitted it. He didn't run from the question when I said, hey, Clark Hunt said, contend for a playoffs. And he said, well, that's my expectation as well. The bar has to be raised. And so I think you go into this year saying, for me, 8-8. I want this team to be 8-8. You know, for me, my goal as a fan, not as a guy who covers it, I'm satisfied with the season if you play 16 meaningful games. If you're not eliminated going into that last game, if you've got a shot at the playoffs in that last game, I call it a successful year. I know there are other people that think you should be in the playoffs every year. Mathematically, it just can't happen. You're going to have some years. I mean, as great as Bill Belichick's been in his tenure since they won the Super Bowl in 2001, there have been 2 years that they did not make the playoffs. For me, if you can be in contention to the final week of the season, that's a successful year. Now, to keep going, to be the guy to lead the ship, then you've got to make the playoffs as much as you don't or more, or they're going to find somebody else to get it done. And it's a win-now business, and Todd Haley's certainly aware of that. To me, I think this team needs to be right around 500, preferably 8-8. And I think with the schedule, with three playoff teams, four games against teams that were in the playoffs this past year, and that can be misleading at times because it's next year's teams they'll play, not the 2009 version of these teams. So that schedule could be a lot tougher when it's all said and done, or it could be even easier. We'll see. But I think with that schedule, I think it's reasonable to expect, and I think this is where Clark Hunt's coming from, it's reasonable to expect for this team to contend for a playoff spot. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you're in it in week 14, or is it like I say, you're in it going into week 16? Well, that's up for Clark Hunt to worry about, but I think 500 is a reasonable expectation with the hope that you do more right than wrong. Maybe a few things go your way, and you are battling for a playoff spot maybe a year ahead of time, the way I think, say, the Jets were at 9-7. I think they probably thought next year would be their year two with Mark Sanchez, not year one. Well, I think this is kind of like that Jets team. Remember, they were 9-7 the year before. I think this next season will be like the Jets, where you're hoping to be around 500, maybe overachieve, maybe find your way into the playoffs. But then once you get there, opportunity knocks. You need to seize that opportunity when you can. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. What's in your playbook for 2010?
Shotgun formation, twins to the right. He takes the snap, fakes right, spins left and dives for 2010 Chiefs season tickets.
Great seats at great prices are available. Buy now to guarantee you'll experience the Chiefs in the new Arrowhead opening in 2010 with improved amenities, expanded concourses, HD video boards, the Hall of Honor, and much more. Purchase your 2010 Chiefs season tickets today at kcchiefs.com or call 888-99-CHIEFS.
In today's hectic world, it's hard enough to find time to manage all your commitments and still find time to pursue a higher education. But at Columbia College, we make it easier. Classes are just 8 weeks long, and you can earn your associate, bachelor's, or master's degree on campus, online, or both. Apply now to Columbia College in Kansas City at www.ccis.edu/about-time. That's www.ccis.edu/about-time.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. Great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too.
The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web to buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at kcchiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at kcchiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in red-hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, I apologize that we didn't get to any emails this week, but we'll try to get a number of them, as a matter of fact. We'll try to get to them more next week. Redzone@kcchiefs.org is how you email us, but we're running behind, but happy to do it for the head coach of the Chiefs, Todd Haley. That is going to do it for us here in the Red Zone. A lot of things. I had a chance to speak to some folks down at the Super Bowl. We'll give you a chance to hear that. We talked to some football theory and idea when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll give you a chance to hear from some of those guys in the weeks to come. But we want to thank Todd Haley, certainly, for joining us, and Brad Young for producing the program. And Soren Petro saying thank you very much for joining us this week here in the Red Zone.
You've been listening to the Red Zone with Soren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of kcchiefs.com.